Well, good morning, everybody. Glad to see you here this morning. I love our church family because I love teasing and having fun. Praise God for family and for fun. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for each one here. I thank you for your word. I thank you, Father, for worship. I thank you, Father, for an awareness of you and your presence in this place. And as we come together, Father, to focus on you, to hear from you, I pray that's each of our heart's desire to walk away today with answered prayer that we heard from you personally, that we come expecting to hear from you, and that we leave having heard from you. And I pray that you will just fill our hearts and help us, Father, to just gain the things and the perspectives that you want us to have from this message this morning. I thank you for the message, Father, because it's a different focus in a sense. But I pray, Father, it's enlightening, and I pray that you just carry it and bless it. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I have to pick on my son-in-law because he's saying, you know, here we are, that time of year again where we got to force ourselves to think of something to be thankful for. I start busting up. Then after we say, we have 10,000 reasons. Praise God, that's a goal, 10,000 reasons, but it's really much more than that. Well, now that we pack that underneath that belt... And I'm just busting up back there thinking, oh, man. But it really, I was thanking God because it was a springboard for the message. Because I was going to say, you know, if I asked you this morning, what things are you thankful for? I bet you anything, people would say, well, I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for my church. I'm thankful for God. I'm thankful for my health. I'm thankful for, and fill in the blank. And we can almost get this generic response of what we're thankful for, but we can also kind of sense of, okay, what am I thankful for? What am I thankful for? What am I thankful for? Almost as if there's a little bit of a push to say, okay, got to really think. And I think there was some validity to what Olin was saying earlier, was that we do kind of get in a position in Thanksgiving time of the year where we start to think, okay, what am I thankful for? And almost feel strained or obligated or concerned. Okay, there's got to be more to be thankful for. What I want to introduce to you this morning is it's not just the things that we receive, but there's something else. And we're going to look at that, what that something else is in the message that makes us have thankful hearts. But giving a perspective scripturally to some of the things that we can be thankful for, because there's so many different things in the scripture that we can be thankful for. We're to give thanks for his mercy that endures forever. Amen? We're to give thanks in all things always. That's not easy. Give thanks in all things always. That means in the good and the bad, the things that don't make sense, the things that do, the things we like, the things we don't like, right? So give thanks in all things always. Give thanks before praying. Give thanks and make his deeds known. Give thanks for the peace he gives us. Give thanks because he will wipe away our tears, sorrow, and pain. And so we can look at these things and see a biblical aspect of things to be thankful for. The things I mentioned before that were more generic in term, family, health, church, God, children, whatever. Though, even though that's generic, there's nothing wrong with thanking God for those things. There's nothing wrong with looking at these things and saying, these are things that I'm thankful for. But what I want to look at this morning that's a little bit different is I want to ask you this question. Why is it important to give thanks to God? Now, you might be thinking, well, because we're supposed to. You might be thinking because God desires that. And you know what? You would be right. But that's not the primary reason we are looking at this question this morning. I'm going to look at this. What is the practical application, biblically sound reason why God calls us out to give him thanks? And we're going to look at that. And so I've got three different passages of scripture to look at. And the first one is in 1 Thessalonians 5:16. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-19. What's it say? It says, rejoice always. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. And then, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Now, there's some answers there as to why it's important for us to give thanks to God. And one is because God calls us to give thanks in everything. In everything, verse 18, give thanks. For this is the will of God. God, our Heavenly Father, wants us to be thankful. But there's a practical reason why He wants us to be thankful. And we're going to look at that as we go through this message. And hopefully you'll walk away this morning going, now I know even more so why it's important to give thanks to God and how to give thanks to God and these new with these new perspectives. But verse 19 is another reason why we give thanks to God. Do not quench the Spirit. And you might be saying, well, I've never thought about that before. If I'm not giving thanks to God, I'm quenching the Spirit. Quenching is to hold back. Now, I was thinking if I had a little object lesson, I almost put an object lesson up here today, but you all get nervous when I bring fire up to the stage. So, I knew you'd been there, fire and smoke. But I was thinking, okay, I got this Roman candle, and it's lit. Got a good flame going, but I take a clear glass and I set it over the top of the Roman candle. Obviously, what happens to the flame? It starts to diminish, right? Now, in this particular case, I don't let it burn out, and I take the candle, the glass off of the candle, and the flame starts to reestablish itself and become bigger and stronger, right? So quenching the Spirit is containing the, if you will, in that illustration, the flame on a candle or fire, containing it in such a way that it doesn't just stay at the status quo that it's at, but it actually regresses in its quality. It's held back from being what it is normally. But there's one step more. The opposite of not quenching the Spirit is fanning the Spirit. And so it's kind of, what do you call those things in old-time fireplaces? I mean, I guess all fireplaces are, they're not, huh? Bellows, thank you. Bellows. And so you've got this thing and you're, you know, suck in the air and push the air out, suck in, push out, and it blows onto the fire in the fireplace. Same in the campground. The coals start burning down, the fire flames are going down. You throw some wood on there, okay, that's going to help a little bit, but you get on your hands and knees or something like that and you start, you know, getting it going. And so as a believer, we have this, the Spirit of God, that we can either restrict the Spirit of God from being as effective in our lives, believe it or not, or we can have a status quo awareness of the Spirit of God, or we can actually flame on, encourage the work of the Spirit of God. How do we encourage the work of the Spirit of God? He's saying, do not quench the Spirit. He's saying, everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. He just doesn't slide in an off-the-wall statement, don't quench the Spirit. Don't quench the Spirit is tied into verse 18. How do we not quench the Spirit of God? By giving thank you. How do we not quench the Spirit? By giving thanks. How do we not quench the Spirit, everybody?
Thanks.
By giving thanks. Thank you. Hello. It's not a hard question. No, but we give God thanks. Right? If we do that, what we're doing is we're acknowledging the Spirit of God's work in our life. We see God's handiwork. We see His provisions. We see His grace. We can acknowledge what God is doing in our personal life. And by doing that, we're focusing on Him. And by focusing more clearly on Him because we're giving Him thanks, says, I'm aware of what you're doing. I see what you've done. I'm giving you thanks for it. I am more keenly focused on you now. And it ignites the flame that much more. Because we're excited. We're like, wow, look what God did. I see what God is doing. Thank you, Lord. You know, I don't know, what was it a while back? I don't know, it was last year. Time goes by so fast. But Tim was witnessing to someone. He came back so excited with one of the youth because he led him to the Lord. Oh, it was the crawl. And he led this kid to the Lord. What was he thanking him for? The experience of sharing Christ with that kid and him receiving Christ. And the wow factor. But it wasn't just the experience that he was excited about. At least I hope not. It was what Jesus was doing through him. his experience with Jesus. And that's a key factor to motivating us to give thanks to God. We have people that can share testimonies of what God has done in their life and against odds that are stacked up against them. And when God comes through on those things and honors those needs and meets those needs, we're praising God. We're giving God thanks. And so it just overflows. It just happens. So we don't have to kind of like press ourselves hard up against the wall in November. Thanksgiving is coming, and they're going to ask me, what are you thankful for? Last year I said my family, and try to find something else to add to it. And I don't want to repeat what everybody else is saying, so this is kind of tough. You see, that's not how God wants us to operate. Sure, we're to be thankful for those things, and those things are blessings, and they are good. But we are to be thankful for not just the experience, but the relationship that we experience in Christ through his work in our lives. Praise God for that. Praise God for that. And so, rejoice always. I'd be rejoicing more and more if I was more focused on seeing what God was doing and praising him more. Praying without ceasing, making your needs known, giving and everything, give thanks for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Even though we don't understand or like it or whatever, give God the thanks because he's always working good in our life. And don't quench the spirit by ignoring what God is doing, but watch what God is doing. And when he accomplishes it, we're going to overflow with a heart of thanksgiving. So when we give thanks to God, we fire up, quote unquote, or more actively involve the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The more we give thanks to God, the more fired up we are about God, and the more actively we see God working in our lives because we're paying attention to him. Does that make sense? Does it make sense? The more we acknowledge him, what's that? Okay, I thought I heard someone say something. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. And so that's what God wants. That's why he's saying, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Keep your eyes focused on me. Watch and see what I do. And the result is that we're going to be giving him thanks. The second thing is, first was not to quench the spirit, because when we do, that holds back a thankful heart. But the second thing is that we are to see what God does with what he's given us that will generate an act of thanks. We'll look at that in 2 Corinthians 9, verses 10 through 15. Now, this is in the Amplified Version. We're going to go a little bit slower through this, but hopefully it won't bog down. That was my prayer. Lord, don't let this bog down in this passage. Just let it flow good. Do your work through it. Now, he who provides seed for the sower and bread for food will provide and multiply your seed for sowing, that is, your resources, and increase the harvest of your righteousness, which shows itself in active goodness, kindness, and love. Now, you and I aren't farmers, per se. I don't know of any farmers in here. I know we have farmers in the valley, but you and I aren't farmers. And so in one way, we're kind of disconnected to what this passage of Scripture is saying. But if we were to look at that and say, look, you know what? God has given what is needed for us to sow his work. God has given us the means to be that vessel that he can use to do the work he's called us to do in our own individual lives, let alone collectively as a body of believers. And so it's he who provides seed for the sower. We're the sower. He gives us the seed. We're the believers. We're the Christ followers that are given the means to be able to share the gospel. And bread for food will provide and multiply your seed for sowing. That is your resources, and increase the harvest of your righteousness, which shows itself in active goodness, kindness, and love. When we take what resources God has given us, we named up, I'm glad that I've got food. I'm glad that I have a house. I'm glad that I've got room to put up someone in my house if I've got a guest room. I'm glad for what resources I have, right? And so that's the seed that God has given us. Now, when we use that, he multiplies that seed. Now, when I was going over this message earlier, I'm thinking, this is not a prosperity message. This is the message that says, when we are doing what God calls us to do with the resources that he gives each one of us, and we use it for him, the product is he's always going to supply the need that we have to do what he calls us to do. So when we see God providing what we need to do what he calls us to do, what do you think the reaction is going to be? We're going to give
thanks.
Good. We're going to give thanks. Because we've used by faith what he told us to use, that he's given us, and then we see him resupplying and continuing to meet that need because we're being good stewards of what he's entrusted each one of us to use for him. Praise God for that. Verse 11, you will be enriched in every way so that you may be generous. And this generosity administered through us is producing thanksgiving to God from those who benefit. God says, I'll give you an example. I had one year, and I don't say this for boast, but I'm trying to think of an example. When I was that's a whole other story. When I started going to church at 17, let's go there. And I was feeling God's call in my life, and I was all gung-ho for God. And you know how it is when you're first saved, and you're excited about your faith, excited about your walk. And we were in a little mission church, and the church needed some money, and I got my tax refund. You know, I'm 17, I'm starting to see more of a little bit of good refund for me. And refund came in, it was about $200, and I said, I feel God's leading me to give the $200 to God, to the church, to meet the need. That was a resource that he gave me. Now, that's not a prosperity thing, but it says here that we give so that then he gives back and supplies even more so we can continue to give back. So God never let me not meet my bills. He always made sure I was taken care of. And he blessed me in ways I didn't expect. I was riding a bicycle. This is not a prosperity message. I don't want to get off on that. I was riding a bicycle to work. I was riding 30 miles a day, all that type of stuff. That was my mode of transportation. And one of my buddies said, you know what? No, it wasn't my great aunt, she had stopped driving. She had gotten to an age where it's not safe for me to drive anymore. And so she said, here, Terry, you can have my car. So God gave me a car. But then the car later on was in turn I gave to my roommate who had a wife and children, and his car had died. And so it was just kind of like, I'm going to give you, I'll give you more than what I give you more, you give back more. But the end result of it was that I could see God not only providing, but using what things I had for his glory. And that was an experience that blessed me, but it also showed my relationship with Jesus as like me looking at Jesus and saying, boy, Lord, I just love you. I love what you're doing. I love what you just did through me in this circumstance. And there was a thankful, praising heart toward God for that. Does that make sense? Okay, good. So far it's still going, it's not bogging down too heavy. We'll go to the next verse, all right? For the no genuine responses, just yes, it's fine. Verse 12, for the ministry of this service offering is not only supplying the needs of the saints, God's people, but is also overflowing through many expressions of thanksgiving to God. All that's saying is this. When we're doing what God calls us to do, when we see him take care of the challenge that's out of our control, when we see him working in and through our lives as the Holy Spirit does, the result is that we will naturally overflow with thanksgiving. So as we're doing things with the resources God gives us, he's producing a thankful heart. As we see what God does, it naturally overflows. So here's a question for you. Why do we not see more Christians coming to church excited and happy about praising God? Ouch. You know what the reason is? Because we're not experiencing Christ the way he wants us to experience him. The reason is because we're not listening and watching and focusing on the Holy Spirit, and we're quenching the work of the Spirit. We're not unleashing and encouraging the involvement of the Holy Spirit in our lives by paying attention to Him. When we pay attention to Him, we're listening to Him, we're watching Him, we're responding to Him in faith and obedience, then we see Him work. We see other people blessed, we see ourselves blessed, and our heart naturally has produced a thankful spirit. And as we continue to live this way, that thankful heart overflows. Nobody wants to come to church because you feel like you have to. Nobody wants to come to church feeling like you're dragging in and I'm supposed to be happy. God says, no, I want you to be happy because of me. Because you are experiencing me. It's not the experience of the worship. It's not the experience of Bible study or the preaching of the word. He says, I want you to be happy because of me above all these things. Who I am, what I'm doing, and me glorified. When we have that focus on the Spirit of God, we're responsive to Him, we see God lead, we see God provide, we see God do His work, we see other lives touched, we see our hearts touched, then what's going to happen? We're going to be those believers that walk around saying, God is so cool, look what He's doing. And we're going to naturally overflow. That's what's being said here in verse 12. But it's also overflowing through many expressions of thanksgiving to God. Verse 13, because of this act of ministry, they will glorify God for your obedience to the gospel of Christ, which you confess, as well as your generous participation in this gift for them and for all the other believers in need. When you've been ministered to by people, brothers and sisters in Christ, in ways that you didn't expect, do you not give God thanks? When I was, what you've heard it before, it's redundant, but it's one of those marks in my walk. When I needed the car, God gave me a car. I praise God for that. There was a Christian woman who gave me the car. We needed a washer and dryer at church. Someone came up to my door and gave me $600 to go buy a washer and dryer. I praise God for them, for them responding to the work of the Holy Spirit, but in turn, what was going to happen to them? They're praising God because they see how God used them to bless someone else, and God in turn will bless them. And so when we're involved in that experience of following the Spirit, responding to the Spirit, being used by the Spirit of God, using the resources that He entrusts us with to minister to other people, the natural result is we're going to see Jesus doing work in and through our lives that will cause our hearts to overflow naturally. We won't have to be, you know, I'm up against the wall, what am I thankful for? Follow me? And that's no pun against you. I'm just saying that was a good springboard. It's something that should come naturally on a regular basis. So because of this ministry, they will glorify God for your obedience to the gospel of Christ, which you confess, as well as for your generous participation in this gift for them and for all the other believers in need. Verse 14, and they also long for you. I had to look at what does longing for you mean? It means in this particular context, they also love you. They see your genuine heart toward them, ministering to them. There will be those that will love you for that. Who doesn't want to be loved more? Especially as a representative of Christ doing His work. And they also long for you or love you while they pray on your behalf because of the surpassing measure of God's grace, His undeserved favor, mercy, and blessing, which is revealed in you. God working through us to bless others brings an overflow of thanksgiving to God. Why? Because we're seeing God use us and we're seeing God active in our lives and because we're seeing our relationship with God growing closer and richer because our focus is on Him and we're going, wow, You are so awesome, God. You are so mighty. You are so good. Verse 15, now thanks be to God for His indescribable gift, which is precious beyond words. You know what that indescribable gift is? What? Jesus. Yeah, that's right. And more specifically, our relationship with Him. How can we describe the richness of the relationship that we have in Jesus? When we're seeing, when we're focused on the Spirit, when we're doing what God calls us to do, when we see God provide in ways we didn't expect, when we see Him bless back so we can continue to bless out, when we see this flowing of thankfulness emerging from our soul, out of our lips to God, and sharing this with other people, then what happens? God is glorified. God is glorified. That's that part of that indescribable gift. It's our relationship with Jesus. That's the ultimate. That's the ultimate. So now, thanks be to God for His indescribable gift, which is our relationship with Christ, which is precious beyond words. Christian kindness and generosity to others does double work. Okay? It gives relief to those in need. It generates a thankful heart, both in the receiver and in the giver. We don't have to feel like we're up against the wall to come up with this year's resolution of what we're thankful for. And we don't have to be saying, well, I don't want to say the same thing as I do every year, even though those things to be thankful for are good. The thankfulness comes through our walk with Christ on a regular basis, where we are excited about what He's doing and we're just flowing with thankfulness for Him. That's where it comes from. When we serve others with a genuine heart of love, God will supply the need of the saints. And in return, our hearts will overflow with thankfulness to God. It's not, I put a note down here, it's not the simple things, but the experiences that we share in Him or have in Him. It's not simply the things that we receive. You know, like in the beginning, what are you thankful for? All right, I have these things that I've received from God. I'm thankful for these things. Here's my checklist. It's not the things that I can read off in Scripture. Here's the checklist that I can be thankful for. No, it's beyond the things. It's the experience that we have with Him that causes us to overflow. Like Tim going, man, I led that kid to the Lord. Actually, I know it was God doing that. I'm so cool. I'm so excited that God did that work through me. It was Him, not me. I'm just amazed. Wow. Fill in the blank. And that was respectfully said so. You know what I'm saying? We're to be thankful for the experience God gives us. Thankful for the things that God does in and through our lives. I want to read to you a testimony from George Mueller. He was a minister in England, and his primary goal was to build orphanages, but he did so through the power of prayer. And I want you to listen to this carefully. Each day as George walked the streets, he saw children everywhere who had no mom or dad. They lived on the streets or in state-run poorhouses, where they were treated badly. George felt God calling him to open an orphanage to take care of the children. So here we see the Spirit of God. We see God laying it on George Mueller's heart to build an orphanage for these kids that are in poor houses that are poor. George prayed, asking God to provide the building. He paid attention to the Spirit. So asking God to provide a building, people to oversee it, furniture, and money for food and clothing. God answered his prayers. The needs of the orphanage were met each day. Sometimes a wealthy person would send a large amount of money, or a child would give a small amount received as a gift or for doing chores. Many times, food, supplies, or money came at the last minute, but God always provided without George telling anyone about his needs. He just prayed and waited on God. Now, I'll bring that. Now, before I read the rest of that, it brings me to another thing that I have shared before with you. Kathy and I had it goes back to the washing machine. Kathy and I had our budget. And in our budget, we said, well, we can't afford to get a washing machine, okay, because our budget won't allow for it. What we need is $50 more. We never told a single soul about that prayer. We both had prayed together before God, we need this, and We need this money. Take care of it. Please, you know, however we prayed, don't remember the exact wording that we said in that prayer. Do you know that we started getting a cashier's check in the bank, I mean in our mail, for $50 from an unknown person? Remember, we never said a word to anyone about it. We got the washer. And this is different than the one with the dropping off the money at the house, right? But we got the washing machine, and we still had our budget. We still had to rely on $50 a month. $50 every month by a cashier's check, unknown to of whom was sending it, was supplied for us all the way through to the last payment, and it stopped. Just because I'm reading this history thing, sometimes we feel detached. But the reality is, God is the same God. And he's your God, and he's my God. And he knows our needs. Read on, it says, one time, his diary stated, George Mueller, the children are dressed and ready for school, but there is no food for them to eat. The house mother of the orphanage informed George Mueller about that. George asked her to take the 300 children into the dining room and have them sit at the tables. They had nothing to eat. He thanked God for the food and waited. George knew God would provide food for the children as he always did. Within minutes, a baker knocked on the door. Mr. Mueller, he said, last night I could not sleep. Somehow I knew that you would need bread this morning. I got up and baked 3 batches of bread for you. I'll bring it in. Soon, there was another knock at the door. It was the milkman. His cart had broken down in front of the orphanage. The milk would spoil by the time the wheel was fixed. He asked George if he could use some free milk. George smiled as the milkman brought in 10 large cans of milk. It was just enough for the 300 thirsty children. When Jesus had the fish and the loaves of bread brought to him, it wasn't enough to feed the thousands of people in the multitude. But God the Father provided it. And they gathered remnants. They had lots of leftovers for tomorrow's lunch. Right? God is the same there as he is in George Mueller's day, as he was in here in Kavanaugh's testimony. He's the same God then, now, and forever. And we can trust him. And so we've learned that we are to not quench the Spirit of God, but listen to the Spirit of God. George Mueller knew what to do. God's telling him, you have those kids sit down in the dining room, we're going to pray and give thanks, and God's going to bring what we need, and he did. Praise God, but he knew that's what he was supposed to do. The second thing is that we know that to have a thankful heart, not only are we not to quench the Spirit of God, but we are to what? Be generous with the resources that God gives us and how to use them, and we will be thanking God for that. The third thing and the last thing is Romans 1:21. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. That is a sad verse. I want you to tie it into what I was saying earlier. Why do Christians come to church without a joyful, thankful heart? They know God. We're believers. They know God. But what was wrong? They did not glorify him. What's glorify? Honor him, right? It means to worship him. It means to honor him, to glorify him as God. Why? They were not experiencing Jesus. They knew him. They were content to learn the word. They were content to be involved in different things, but they were not experiencing him, Jesus. And because of that, were not glorifying him. They weren't coming back saying, look what God did. This is awesome. Wow. They weren't coming back that way. They weren't coming back with a thankful heart that way, overflowing naturally. And look what the result was. They became futile. They became useless for God's kingdom work. because they weren't focused on the Spirit. They weren't focused on the relationship that's the most precious of all, Jesus. And watching Him work in and through their lives in such a way that when they respond faithfully and obediently to Him, they see God work through them, for them, and to His glory. And the relationship is richer than Him. But they weren't experiencing that. They were not thankful, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts. Their thinking became obscured. Their thinking was not in line with the will of God. It wasn't focused on the Spirit of God. It wasn't focused on doing what God was leading them in their own personal lives. It was just maybe focused on doing what they thought the routine, whatever. But then something else happened. Their foolish hearts were darkened. They lost sight of God. What happens when we lose sight of God as believers? We become religious. And we can become hypocritical. And we can become very self-righteous. I'm doing everything right and you're not. We can have people in the Laodicean church, they had everything they could possibly want as a church. God said they were dead. They were dead, though they looked alive. So the third thing that we need to do to be able to be thankful to God is to experience Him by following His Spirit and being focused on Him, walking by faith and watching Him do His work, and us being blessed and saying, I can't do anything but thank Him and praise Him. There used to be a lady in our church, and we'll wrap up pretty much with this. A few more things, but not much. We used to say at church, remember the old days? Anybody got testimony? Remember? We'd say in our little Southern Baptist church, anybody got a testimony? And everybody's like, this one lady, bless her heart, she's African American, loved her. Zadie was her name. She goes, well, I can always give a testimony. And she got up, and she would always share a wonderful testimony, and she exuberated joy. And you could see it in her eyes. You can hear it in her voice. You can see it in her body language. She was happy. One of the reasons was because she had started a tithing place. That's what she called it. It was basically a thrift store without cost to minister to the poor. She overflowed with joy. Don't let our hearts be darkened. Don't let our walk, our Christian calling become futile. Don't let our thoughts be distorted. Don't let us miss the opportunity to give God glory and honor and praise. Don't miss experiencing Jesus. But pursue Him. Acknowledge and recognizing God's sovereignty results in worship. Without thankful hearts, our perspectives on life are skewed. A thankful heart protects us from darkness, dullness. That's another word for dullness is stupidity, to be real blunt. A thankful heart protects us from darkness, dullness, and arrogance. We're to give thanks, being watchful. If we're thankful for what we have and experience in Christ and in Him, we're less likely to be deceived. Hear that again. If we're thankful for what we have and experience in Christ, what He does to us and what in the relationship we have in Him, we're less likely to be deceived. Our focus is on Him. When we enter God's house, we're to enter with thankful hearts and praise. Let me sum up with this. When we give thanks to God, we fire up or more actively involve the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. When we serve others with a genuine heart of love, God will supply the need of the saints, and in return, our hearts will overflow with thankfulness to God. So giving thanks to God is not simply a duty. It's that time of year again. But a reflection of our affection, our amazement, and our praise through our experience and relationship with God. Give thanks with a thankful heart. Let's go to the Lord. Father, I thank You for each one here. I thank You, Father, for Your word. I thank you for opening your word, your scripture, to show us that joy is not just, and a thankful heart is not just based upon what we received, and it's not just based upon what you do in our lives, but it's primarily based upon our relationship with you, how deeply our love grows for you, how wildly, passionately in love we are with Jesus. Thank you for the opportunity to have that relationship. May each one of us pursue you. May we listen to your Spirit. May we walk in your power as you've empowered us. May we be your people as Christ's followers. And may you be praised and given thanks every single day of our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.